Today I want us to picture Peter, James, John, and the other apostles, or disciples I'm going to call them, right after the crucifixion and the resurrection. The last 3 years they had followed Jesus, the Messiah. They knew the promises for Israel, for the Messiah. How exciting! The Messiah was their friend. He was their rabbi. They followed him for 3 years and a little more. And let us read about what they were excited about. I'm going to read two scriptures. One is in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 6 through 9. And just realize that these verses were in the disciples' minds as they followed Jesus and called him Messiah. In that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. The Lord also will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that have come against Jerusalem. This was the excitement they looked forward to as they thought about and talked about the Messiah. There's another scripture in Zechariah. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as then he fights on a day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north, the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. But how confusing! The Messiah, their friend Jesus, did not act like the Messiah they were waiting on. It was downright depressing. The Romans had crucified their Messiah, their friend Jesus. He has been resurrected from the dead. In fact, he spoke to them a couple of times. But he still did not act like the Messiah that they were waiting on. Where are the hosts of heaven? Where is all of this happening that they were excited about, that they studied about, that everyone talked about in the synagogues? After a few depressing days, Peter said, "Okay, I'm done. I'm going back to my old job. I'm going fishing." Do we get depressed and discouraged when God's plan for us is very different than our plan for us? Even when ours is based on praying and reading Scripture? Because the disciples and the Jews, they came to their picture of what was going to happen with the Messiah through prayer, through worship, through reading Scripture. And we see a future based on our understanding for God's plan for us, our church, our nation, the world. We pray We study. We collaborate with other fellow Christians. And we dream and pursue what we come to believe is what we're supposed to do. Faith. We step out on faith. Sometimes we step out on presumption, right? Like the apostles did. And we try to figure out which is which in our life. What is faith? What is presumption? Faith is based on the sure promises of God, the sure promises of other individuals, and our real gifts in what God is doing through us. Presumption is when I allow my thoughts to take precedence over what God is doing, what He actually promised. And sometimes we confuse those two. The disciples substituted their interpretation and their fellow Jews' interpretation of what the Messiah was going to do when He showed up. That was presumption because that was their interpretation of what was going to happen. And they weren't paying attention to what God was actually doing with the Messiah that was walking beside them. We read these scriptures and we know they are true. They are as true today as they were back then. But they were misinterpreted. We have to make sure that we don't misinterpret what God is speaking to us. I think the Holy Spirit is asking you and me today, are we disappointed because God isn't using you, using me, using the church in ways we imagine and we plan? Are we discouraged because God's plan seems different than what we planned? And are we going to say, as a result, I'm going fishing? I hope not. I hope that we can, through talking with other Christians, through prayer and collaboration, follow what God is doing and see when it's different than some of our plans. In the second story we heard about today, the Pharisee Saul knew his Bible, didn't he? He studied under one of the leading scholars and teachers of his day, Gamaliel. I think it's fairly clear that his family was very well-to-do. His sister and her family lived near Jerusalem or in Jerusalem. And Saul was deeply concerned for his people. Just when Israel needed to be serious, needed to be seeking God, rededicating themselves to God at the temple, here this group was, this dangerous cult was teaching something different. They're disrespecting the temple. They're disrespecting the priesthood. Instead of making themselves right with God at the temple, they have these strange rites. They're breaking bread and drinking wine in their homes, of all places. They're disrespecting God, His temple, His priesthood. And Moses had prophesied that God would send false prophets to Israel with miracles to test them. Let's read about that. I'm going to read in Deuteronomy 13, and I believe Paul had this in mind as he looked at this, what he thought was a cult. In Deuteronomy 13, it says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods whom you have not known. Let us serve them.' You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge evil from among you. Saul knew this scripture very well. And my goodness, so many people were following this cult. What was he to do? He made a plan. It was approved by leaders of his people. But God had a different plan for him. He went forth to save God's people from deception and apostasy. His plan was based on Scripture and approved by the leaders of God's people. But then Jesus met him and let him know his plan was not correct, that God had a different plan for him. Are we ready to meet Jesus and have him give us his plan for our lives and ministry? Maybe different from our plans? Are you so committed to our plans that we can't hear God as he gives us his plan through the speaking of the Spirit? His speaking through the church and fellow Christians? Does Jesus have to say us, as Paul says in Acts 26? How long are you going to kick against the goads? In plain English, how long are you going to fight this? God is probably not going to strike us down blind like he did Saul. He's probably it's probably not that serious. But sometimes it is disconcerting after we invest so much in what we think God wants us to do. Lose control of the situation, and then Jesus comes and tells us, I have a different plan for you. Acts 9, verses 5 through 6, we read, and Paul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. And we sometimes say, but God, can't you tell us now? We want to know now. Give us at least a hint. But sometimes God says, you need to go out and I'm going to tell you as you go what you're to do. Well, I'm excited that our church seems to have been spoken to by God and that it's listening. It's so exciting. And I pray that each of us, you and me, will listen to God individually and go forward with God's plans for us. Just like the 12 apostles did, just like Saul did, who was renamed Paul. And with amazing impact for his kingdom. Is God speaking to you and me, asking us to change plans from our plans to his plans? Maybe he's already spoken and we're putting the new plan to work. Listening to God with prayer and the counsel of the saints, wise, experienced Christians around us. If so, we thank God. But please don't assume God is speaking to you. Get counsel. Speak to other experienced Christians about what you think God is saying to you. If you'll join me in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you that you have an amazing plan. You have an amazing plan for each one of us. God, we ask that you help us listen to you. And if we already have listened to you, please help us, empower us, so that we can do what you have laid out before us. If we need to change our plans, help us. Give us wisdom. Help us seek counsel. as we go forward. It's such an important thing to do your work, that we get it right, so that we can have the impact that you want us to have for your kingdom here on earth today. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for raising your physical body up so that you can be a forerunner for us as we struggle in our physical bodies with that little bit of spirit you give us. Please help us as we go forward. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.